This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. Today, we're talking about the idea of finding a passion and how it can impact our trajectory in life. We're joined now by Paul O'Keefe, Assistant Professor of Psychology at Yale NUS College. Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I want to start by, trying to find out if there's a clear definition of what a passion is or what that means.
A passion is something that we, like an activity or maybe particular content that we feel very strongly about, something that we engage in repeatedly, something that we identify with deeply. So it's kind of like an interest that someone has, but much more a part of who we are. We're more drawn to engaging in it. It's an important aspect of our lives.
Why do you think we often hear this idea of finding one's passion? It seems like that's, I don't know, the theme of life.
Yeah, well, I think it's advice that we've been given for many years now. And I think for a number of generations, such as the boomers, it's really worked out very well for them. You know, they grew up during a very a good time when the economics were good and everyone kind of the sky was the limit. And the idea of going out and pursuing what they really truly loved and felt powerfully about was something that they could actually do. And they did it, and they did it with some success. So I think it's something that they passed down to a lot of us, saying that this is really, really important, that this is part of how you pursue a meaningful and important life. But I think it's even a little bit more than that too. It's also cultural. You know, in the United States, or North America, or lots of Europe and Australia, you know, we tend to see ourselves as independent from other people, as opposed to other parts of the world, which see themselves more in relation, like their sense of self is more in relation to other people and their connection to their families and others. So in places like North America, the idea of pursuing your own goals, your own happiness, things that bring you fulfillment with regardless of the people around you, is something that's more important. So I think that plays a role as well, because you hear this idea of finding your passion, this being compelled to find your passion, much more so in Western cultures.
That's really interesting. And I know we'll definitely talk about that a little later in the program. You've done research on the idea of finding versus developing a passion. And before mm-hmm. we get into what you found, I'm curious where your interest around passion came from.
Yeah, so I think very early on, I was very interested in motivation. Early in my career, I was, even as a student, I was fascinated about how people's abilities could be, that they were really malleable. And if someone were really motivated, no matter what their genetics were or anything like that, if you were truly motivated, you could actually become a smarter and more capable person. And I thought that was amazing. And I thought that one area that was not terribly well studied was the area of interest. And interest is this amazing motivational variable, because what interest is all about is what you want to do, not what you have to do. It's about intrinsic motivation, right? It's about pursuing some activity or engagement of some sort because it brings you some personal value, some enjoyment, which is quite different than other tasks like, you know, doing chores that your parents told you to do or collating papers at work. You know, it's a very different motivational mode to be in. So, and of course, anecdotally, I think we all know that when we're engaged in something that's interesting, it feels different. It feels like we're performing better. It feels like we're thinking more clearly. Things are flowing better. So it's just this really highly adaptive way of engagement, mode of engagement that I had felt that wasn't really looked at enough. And so, you know, I spent quite a few years studying interest and its benefits. But with regard to this idea of developing versus finding one's interest, that came a bit later. My colleagues and I, Carol Dweck and Greg Walton at Stanford, we started developing these ideas when I was a postdoc there. And we were basically making the observation that people that people are off, like students, for example, at commencement speeches are often urged and compelled to find their passion. And we thought, you know, what does that really mean to find your passion? Well, what it could communicate is that it's already there. It exists. It's inherent within you. And all you need to do is reveal it somehow. Like, right? It's like buried treasure. When really what we know about the research is that interests are developed. Interests are a relationship people have with certain content, ideas, activities, right? And that develops over time and with engagement and commitment, involvement. So we wanted to see, you know, what might be the difference in how people respond to, say, novel material, or if they encounter difficult material, new material, if they kind of believe that interests are these fixed things that are within us that just need to be revealed, or if they are these things that are developed through our agentic engagement.
That's fascinating. And I think it ties into the fixed and growth theories, if I'm not mistaken. Those are often talked about when it comes to research around passion and interest. Can you give us a little definition of each thing? What is fixed theory and what is growth theory?
Yeah. And you're right. This is an extension of that work. A common misconception is that fixed and growth theories, people are either a fixed or a growth theorist. But the reality is that we hold these fixed and growth theories that some attributes are kind of static and unchangeable or changeable. We hold these beliefs in different areas. So that original research by Carol Dweck and her colleagues was in the domain of intelligence, right? People can think that their intelligence is fixed or subject to improvement. In our case, we were interested in how people believe, you know, their beliefs with regard to interest. So a fixed theory of interest or a fixed mindset of interest refers to the belief that interests are inherent and relatively unchangeable. So the interests that you have are just kind of the interests you'll always have, right? People with a growth mindset of interests tend to believe that interests develop. You know, they can be developed. Even if you don't have an interest now, there's nothing that would preclude them from developing new interests, even if they already have very strong interests in other areas.
It makes me think, you know, when we talk about the fixed and growth, is there something that with fixed growth would be like, are you putting, I don't know, yourself in a box and saying like, this is all I can ever do?
I think a little bit. And I think this is the pushback that all the research that's been conducted for so many years on fixed and growth mindsets in various domains, that there is something about the fixed mindset that puts people in a box, right? If you believe your interests are, you know, inherent and fixed, then why, if you believe that that is the true nature of how interests work, and you've already found your interest, why would you bother? It wouldn't even stand to reason to go explore other areas and other potential interests. No, you just stick with what you have, right? So it really does, it has the effect of potentially anyway, of limiting people with the extent of their interests, the, you know, the variety of their interests and so forth. Where there's, for someone with a strong growth mindset, the possibilities are boundless.
I find this so intriguing because it makes me think of just how the human mind can, I don't know, just adapt to different things that we're told and, mm-hmm. and how we grow up and stuff with either fixed or growth mindset. And I've noticed over the years that growth mindset has been picking up, like even in my kids' school, I noticed they'd have these posters like, I can't do this yet. And I was like, wow, yeah. I wish that was around when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of the reason I got into this is because of that initial work on people's fixed and growth mindsets about intelligence. And I was certainly a kid with a fixed mindset of intelligence. And it wasn't until much later in life when I started challenging my own beliefs. And that's what I realized I had been wrong all along.
Yeah. And it's interesting, just again, how adaptable the mind is, that once you find new information, you're able to take that and grow.
Yeah. And I think one of the important things to think about here is really what mindsets are. Mindsets are belief systems, right? We are not neutral observers of our social and physical world. We're constantly trying to make sense of it. And we do that through the formation of beliefs, right? So we have these beliefs about how things work, about, you know, any number of things in our lives, how relationships work, you know, how interest works, how intelligence works. And we come up with certain beliefs often that these attributes or qualities, characteristics are either generally fixed in some way or that they are subject to change or improvement. So this is really how, you know, the humans, you know, belief systems work. And once we have that belief, the reason these beliefs and mindsets are so powerful is that they become the lenses through which we make sense of our world. So we don't see reality necessarily as it maybe exists. We see it as it's filtered through the beliefs that we've developed. So it really colors how we interpret everything that's relevant to those beliefs and how we respond to those situations.
Wow, that's remarkable. And I definitely want to talk a little bit more about your research, but we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about passion and the influence of culture on how people pursue them. If you have any questions or comments, you can always reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana. I'm Miriam Sobe. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. Today, we're talking about research around passion and interests. We're speaking with Paul O'Keefe, assistant professor of psychology at Yale and U.S. College. Paul, you co-authored a research article in 2018 called Implicit Theories of Interest, Finding Your Passion or Developing It. What were some of the questions you were trying to find answers to?
Yeah. So the first one had to do with being open or closed off to new interests. If you think about a fixed mindset of interest, if you have a really strong interest in or strong interests, what that might suggest to you is that you've already found your interests. Why look anywhere else? You already found them, right? No need to explore. But if you have a growth mindset of interests, you might be thinking, even though I have really strong interests in some areas, that wouldn't stop me from developing new interests, right? Because interests can be developed. So our first question was, would these two different belief systems lead to different reactions to being presented with information or an activity that's well out of their interest area? So what we did is recruited undergraduates at Stanford who either considered themselves really like arts people or science people. They couldn't be both or neither. They had to be one or the other. And in a later experiment, we presented them with with actual research articles that were, you know, squarely in the arts and in the sciences. So everyone was reading an arts and a sciences article. In other words, there's one article that really aligns with their core interests, and there's one article that's clearly outside of their core interests. And what we found was, you know, not surprisingly, that everyone likes the article that fits with their pre-existing interests. But for the article that was mismatching their interests, we found that those with a growth mindset of interest expressed more interest in that article, right? So in other words, having this growth mindset made them more open to something that was really far afield from the what they really enjoy in their daily lives and probably their majors as well. And one of the other questions that we were interested in had to do with the expectations people have for their for pursuing a new interest or passion. So from the perspective of someone with a fixed mindset, if passions are inherent and they just need to be found, then that sort of suggests that they're residing in you and they're fully formed. And as soon as you find them, they are unleashed. And with that should come boundless motivation and inspiration, right? Kind of these magical motivational beliefs. But if you have a growth mindset, you might have these expectations that, you know, pursuing a new passion, a new interest, it's still going to be hard because that's part of the developmental process. You know, you're not just great at something right away. You don't have this like deep relationship with a particular activity or ideas right away. It takes time. So we predicted that they would have different expectations for what it would be like to pursue an interest. And in one study, we confirmed those hypotheses. And then in a subsequent study, we were interested in, well, what happens if they have these expectations and we actually make it difficult? We spark an interest and then we make it difficult to pursue, right? I mean, think about, you know, someone who's an undergraduate and they saw the most recent Star Wars movie. They're super excited about space. They want to learn more about space. So they sign up for like a astrophysics class, you know, the next semester. You know, this is like a very real life thing that happens. In one case, someone with a fixed mindset might have the expectation that, oh, I'm fascinated by this stuff. I love this stuff. This passion is going to carry me through the semester. But the person with the growth mindset might have more realistic beliefs that it's going to be hard. And of course it's going to be hard. It's astrophysics. So we kind of put this to the test where we sparked actually an interest in astrophysics. We used a kind of a fun animated video that's really highly accessible to, you know, a general audience, and talked about Stephen Hawking's theories and black holes and singularity and all these things. And sure enough, almost everyone found it fascinating. The second part of the study, we had them read the first page of an actual article from the journal Science on the exact same topics that were in the video. This time it was more difficult, right? It was more substantive, a few equations in there, it's denser, basically it requires more effort, right? So what we found is that those with a fixed mindset basically went from being fascinated by this topic when they watched the video to now reporting that they were not interested in this topic at all. But people with a growth mindset, their interest went down a little bit because it was hard. It's a difficult article to get through, but they still maintained their interest. They were significantly higher than those with a fixed mindset. And that, we think, has very important implications, kind of like what I was just saying about a student who's sticking with a really difficult class, because that class could be very, very rewarding in the end. And you could think about this in terms of careers too. I mean, think about how many skills are really difficult to develop at first and people just give up on them because it's boring, it's tedious, or this or that. Well, they haven't given it a chance yet. And their beliefs might be holding them back from actually developing that passion or interest that might end up being very, very meaningful to them.
Would you say that this is something that if you're like born with sort of a fixed or a growth mindset, or is this something that you can develop? I mean, it sounds like there are ways to change your beliefs and be more open, but is some of this unchangeable at all?
No, these are beliefs, right? So just like all of our beliefs, they're, we learn them from our environment and our experiences, right? These messages about fixed and growth mindset, come from a lot of our sources in our lives, our teachers, our parents, our peers, maybe whatever the prevailing norm is in our neighborhoods, and they can have a very powerful effect on us. So yeah, no, nobody's born with any of these beliefs. That's something that we kind of construct as part of our culture, as part of our, the locations where we grow up, and like I said, the prevailing norms. So we know that, this is very often just a socialized process. But we also know that these beliefs can we change them experimentally. Even in some of the studies that I was mentioning before, we temporarily had got people to adopt either a fixed or a growth belief. So the tricky thing is that beliefs, permanent belief change, is very difficult. There's a very, very large literature on beliefs and attitude change. And one thing that we know very well is that they're very difficult to budge. People are very good at maintaining their beliefs. But we do have our methods, and our methods, certainly with people's beliefs about interest, are successful.
Is it that society makes people feel that they have to stick to one thing? Is that part of maybe it's part of the fixed mindset where there's these expectations that you choose a career and you stick to it, and if you change, then you're just a flaky person?
Well, that's an interesting idea. It could very well be, or at least could be one of the reasons, because there are certainly cases like that, right? We even have parents who might say, "Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Stick with what you're doing now. Don't veer off course." That could in subtly suggest that your interests are inherent, and that there shouldn't be any exploration. There's also the idea of what is your environment permitting you to do. If those parents or teachers or whomever is suggesting that it is fruitless to explore new areas, or it's not valued to explore new areas, it would be very difficult for a growth mindset to take root in that type of environment, right? So, but I think this comes back to your, original question, that it is in this type of environment that a growth mind, I sorry, a fixed mindset might be more likely to develop, as someone's, belief about the nature of interests.
One thing you mentioned also is just the environment that people are in, and I'm wondering for folks that are living in areas where they don't have access and equity, and what they could have become if they had those things, if they were given those tools. Do you see that folks who have this innate ability will find it later on down the road?
What do you mean by innate ability?
Maybe that's not the right word, but maybe they didn't know they had a passion or a talent for something, and it wasn't able to be nurtured in the environment that they were in, but later on down the road, they were able to find it.
Yeah, I mean, another thing that that we have to consider is that, especially when it comes to passions and pursuing a passion, it's also a luxury,
Right.
right? And I feel like in the West in particular, I think we see passions as just it's fundamentally human, and it's part of the human goal and spirit. But that's just a cultural belief. The reality is that it's also a luxury to be able to explore art, to be a musician, to be a painter, to, travel the world. These are things people would consider their passions frequently, but this is a luxury. A lot of other people don't live in environments where they just get to go off and do what they want to do, right? So that also could be playing a role, that the affordances that one has in their environment, which might be, the economic stability of the country that they live in, or the socioeconomic status of their parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that I was wondering, is there a better way to tell people to find their passion? Is there, I don't know, some other type of advice you think would be better to give?
Absolutely. Tell them to develop their passion. Use the language to communicate something very different. So earlier you were saying that, I think at your child's school, they say you didn't get it yet,
mm-hmm.
right? So that yet is very important because it doesn't say you didn't get it, full stop. It says you didn't get it yet. And that yet suggests if you work, keep working, you can do it, right? And in the same way, if we change the language that we use from find your passion to develop your passion, you're subtly suggesting, very subtly suggesting, where a passion or an interest even comes from to begin with. It comes from you. It comes from your interactions with the world, right? And you develop that interest and passion with the things that might matter to you.
When you develop that passion, let's say, sometimes it takes a lot of work. And for example, if someone wanted to learn to play the piano, it might take days to nail down the song that they're practicing, and it can be frustrating. Does having a fixed or growth mindset have any impact on how people stay interested in that new activity? Like, how long do they stay interested?
Well, we haven't studied it with regard necessarily to skill development, but I would refer back to one of the studies that I summarized earlier, in that we know that at least as far as content is learning new content, the learning process, that people with a growth mindset are more likely to maintain that interest even when it becomes difficult. And people with a fixed mindset just completely drop the interest. And if we kind of extrapolate and think about learning an instrument, I'm a musician myself, so I know full well of those barriers that you have to get through to really develop some competency. You know, believing how going into, say, learning piano with the understanding, the belief that this interest is going to take time, this passion is going to take time to develop. And yes, I have to develop skills as well, but just because I'm not great at it immediately doesn't mean it doesn't have value for me, right? They're probably going to be more likely to stick with it and see it through.
I'm just thinking of how maybe even myself, you know, I'll pick up something I want to do and then I just let it go. And then I look into something else and I let it go because it just seems like too much work. So now I'm like, I must have a fixed mindset.
Well, you know what? I think, this is a question I often get, like, is it just that, you know, and I'm not sure if this is what you were suggesting necessarily, but do people with a growth mindset just get interested in everything? Or if you are, or if you let go of particular, you know, hobbies or whatever, or do you have a fixed mindset? And not really, because, you know, the fixed and growth mindsets about interests are just fundamental beliefs about the nature of interest. There are other things at play, right? There are, for example, you know, we might have particular expectancies for how well we will perform on a, say, the piano. Like, do I see myself as someone who actually has good hand-eye coordination and could actually develop skills in this area, right? Even with a growth mindset, if I don't think so, I might say, well, my time and efforts are better spent elsewhere. We might also ask ourselves, how valuable is this to us, right? Do I derive enjoyment from playing piano? Is this useful to me and the person that I want to be someday? Do I want to be a musician? If the answer is yes, then that might go into the equation of you pursuing piano. So it's not necessarily just the belief itself, right? Because all, you know, we have limited time in this world, and we have to make decisions, you know, and it's going to come down to a lot of times, you know, do we expect that we can be successful at this? What are the costs associated with you know, diving into this new area, and, you know, how much do I value it? So we have to weigh those things as well.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about studies around passions and how culture influences the way people approach them. And we're definitely going to get more into the culture aspect after this break. If you have any questions or comments, you can always find us on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. I'm Miriam Sobel. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. We're discussing research around passion and interests with Paul O'Keefe, assistant professor of psychology at Yale and U.S. College. Paul, before we talk about the impact culture has on the way people think about passion, can you tell us a little bit about what an individualistic culture is and maybe how that compares to collectivist culture?
Yeah, a lot of this, these ideas come from the idea of how we construe the notion of the self, how we see ourselves. And it's informed by our culture and the values of our culture and the norms of our cultures, right? So as I was saying before, people from an individualistic culture see themselves as more separate and unique from other people, right? Their life journey is their own life journey, right? Their goals, it is a good thing to be pursuing your own goals, your own interests, right? Whereas people from an interdependent culture or collectivistic culture tend to see themselves more in relation to other people, like important others in their lives, right? So their goals might be more tied to the goals that maybe their parents have for them, and so forth. So it might be less of a decision to say, hey, this is what I want to do in my life. These are my goals. They're thinking, what are the goals that, you know, others might care about, not just me, right? So it's seeing oneself as separate from others and individualistic and unique, as opposed to being fundamentally connected with other people.
Is there a bit of a clash? Like, let's say if you're growing up in a society where it's an individualistic culture, but your own home life is a more collectivistic culture.
Oh, without question. In the United States, for example, we have lots of Latinx and Asian people who are for second generation, their parents moved here, and then they're or maybe first generation, and they are they're being taught their home values, which are very collectivistic at home, but they are going off to school with their American classmates and learning about individualistic culture, so and an individualistic sense of self. So very often you see these types of people kind of like caught in between two worlds, or at least shifting between those two worlds, you know, the obligations of family, but also the desire to go off and do their own thing.
Have you found in any of your research whether any of these routes is more desirable or... I guess I'm wondering, like, is it better to be part of a collectivistic culture or an individualistic culture?
No. But they're just different ways that cultures are, you know, they're just different kind of frameworks for how we organize the self and our societies and how we should behave and so forth. So one isn't any better than the other by any means. It's just that there might be different outcomes associated with seeing the world that way.
When people, particularly in the West, talk about passion, they also talk about career. Have you done any research on the intersection between passion and career?
Yeah. So last year, we published a paper in which we examined cross-cultural differences in the emphasis that people place on important career decisions, right? So like I was saying before, people in America, it's very common. You know, you have to follow your passion. You have to find your passion. You got to do all these things. Your passion is such, it's a beacon of your life. It's incredibly important. And then people, you come to Asia, parts of Asia, and you don't hear that narrative. It's not a part of the cultural narrative. And for some of the reasons that I was mentioning before, that, you know, this, it's a collectivistic society. So my colleagues and I became very interested in, well, if people, you know, think of these things differently, then they might actually place different emphases on the pursuit of a passion, because a passion is very individualistic, right? It's not always individualistic, but the way that we talk about passions a lot, like my passion for basketball or music or this, it's very individualistic. So we ran some experiments across the cultures and examined how people with more or less of an independent self-construal, or the people who come from more or less of an independent culture, the kind of emphasis that they place on passion. So we give them a scenario about, in one condition, about someone who is really passionate about their career field, and in the other condition, they're just ho-hum about it. They don't really, you know, care that much. And then we ask our participants a number of questions about these people or this person. And what's interesting is that people in Singapore and America, they both emphasize passion. They both recognize that, or at least they feel that passion is an important thing to pursue as part of one's career. After all, you're spending a lot of your life working. It may as well be one that you're passionate about. But we very consistently find that people from America feel much more intensely about that. They feel that it much more so, well, more so than people from Singapore, that your career really should reflect your passion.
Is that detrimental for us to have that kind of a mindset that if we don't enjoy the work that we do, then it's not worth doing?
Well, it certainly could be. There's a lot of work that's not fun that needs to get done and that makes our societies better, right? So that's a possibility. Also, you know, I think it's possible we could place too much emphasis on passion, especially when you think about it in terms of a growth mindset. You can develop passions in any areas, right? You know, one may not be passionate about their career. Hopefully they like it, but they might not be passionate. But there's so much more to be passionate about in life. Some people feel that way about their families. They're passionate about their families. Some people have hobbies outside of work that really make them feel fulfilled. And so people have their own approaches for how to balance life and work and where their passions are.
What would you say are the pros and cons of having, let's say, a more American-like perspective when it comes to pursuing a passion as a career? And then also on that same note, a Singaporean-like mindset?
Well, I would say to some extent, I wouldn't say this categorically, but to some extent, I would say that, you know, Singapore's lesser reliance or emphasis of passion might be a little bit more realistic. And the reason I say that is because something additional that we did in that study is we tried to examine, we examined the reasons why people are placing different levels of emphasis on pursuing a passion. And people from America were more likely than Singaporeans to say that passions are just boundlessly motivating and fulfilling and inspirational, right? And so Singaporeans weren't as much buying into that kind of magical thinking about passions. Instead, Singaporeans more than Americans were endorsing the idea that passions can be problematic sometimes. So they might interfere with one's obligations. It might make them a little selfish, give them tunnel vision. They might be too idealistic. So I think to some extent, that's kind of realistic and kind of those are good things to keep in mind when pursuing your passion. I mean, one only needs to watch American Idol to see that there are some people who need to recalibrate, you know, what they're really putting their life's work into, right? So it can be, I think, kind of good to realize that passions can be problematic at sometimes. Still, I wouldn't say that one approach is better than another. And I say that because both are embedded within their own cultures, right? And as I said before, like one type of culture, you know, independent or interdependent, you know, one's not better than the other. They just are what they are. They're two different ways of frameworks for how to understand your social world. And these beliefs exist functionally within those cultural models. So what might be problematic is when a Singaporean might go to America and apply those same ideas. And when the American goes to Singapore and applies those same ideas, there you might get a mismatch where you're trying to maybe pursue a passion in a way that isn't supported by the culture that you're in.
One thing that I was thinking about is, I think there's a quote, I don't know how it goes, something about love what you do and you'll never work a day in your life. Is this a toxic message?
Absolutely. I believe so. And I think some of our research suggests that. It just leans into this very romantic message about passions, right? I love passion. Passions are great. I have passions. But when we start having unrealistic beliefs about what our passions will do for us, then that's not good, right? So to believe, and this goes back to, you know, some of the research I was talking about before, that we find that people with a fixed mindset tend to think that, and Americans in general, like from this other research, tend to think that passions are kind of make things easier and come, you know, more with much more motivation and inspiration. That won't always be the case. You know, when I think back to when I started in research, the work I was doing in the dark, dingy labs of the psych department in the basement weren't the most exciting tasks, right? And if I really stopped there and thought, this isn't fun, this isn't blowing my mind, then I would have never become a psychologist. But I saw it more as, this is all part of the development of becoming a psychologist. And just because this is dull, mundane, maybe difficult at sometimes, it's not going to dissuade me from pursuing something that I think will hold meaning for me and enjoyment for years to come.
It's really interesting, and it's motivating to hear your perspective and just your own personal experience. And one thing I was also wondering, I mean, we only have a few minutes left, so I don't know if this is going to be a big topic, but there's this thing where if you have a talent in something, you're expected to pursue it. Is there anything about like not pursuing something, even though you're really good at it and you could just, I don't know, make a great career out of it?
Well, even the notion of a talent, I think is a bit controversial. And this kind of goes to what I was talking about before about people's beliefs about intelligence or abilities rather than, say, interest. Because the idea of a talent is that you have some sort of inborn talent, right? That's a kind of a fixed mindset, you know, that you're really good at something and it kind of came effortlessly, you know. I think this is part of this, you know, part of our culture of how we think about abilities and the importance that we attach to it. You know, we've had an obsession with IQ scores and many other things that have really developed this emphasis on a fixed mindset in many domains. for many years. So if anything, I think we should get away from that idea, right? Because maybe what feels easy to you, what maybe feels like comes easy to you, maybe it's not what you really care about, right? Maybe it's not what you want to do. Maybe you want to become another person. You want another career. You want another life for yourself than what other people are telling you you should do. So I think this might be kind of yet another instantiation of, you know, learning, a fixed mindset from our culture and people in that culture.
Yeah. I think there's definitely like that outside influence where if somebody sees that you're good at something or you seem to pick it up easily, it's like, that's what you should be doing. And it's like, well, I don't really like doing that.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing about this is that it's all very well intended. These are probably very good people who want to encourage others, right? And same with people who say, go out and find your passion. You have to find your passion. They're saying it comes from a very good place. But what they might be communicating inadvertently is actually doing the person a disservice.
We have about a minute left. I just want to know from your perspective, if there's anything you think people can do to start applying the things they learned from today's conversation in their everyday life.
Yeah, I think really just understanding that a lot of the things that we believe are fixed in life, whether it's our abilities in particular domains or our interests, even research on shyness, these things, people can think that these are fixed aspects of who we are. And research has shown over and over and over again, and this isn't to deny even for one second the role of genetics, biology, anything like that. All of that plays a role, of course. But what people often don't understand is the sheer power of our beliefs, and that we don't stop to actually question our own beliefs and the accuracy of our beliefs. And I think once you start challenging some of our fixed beliefs, people will find that the world is their oyster.
Well, I want to thank you so much for speaking with us this afternoon. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Paul O'Keefe is an assistant professor of social sciences and psychology at Yale NUS College, a partnership between Yale University and the National University of Singapore. Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Micah Yasin. Scott Cameron is our managing editor. Adam Gross is our engineer and composed our theme song. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana. I'm Miriam Sove. Thanks for listening. This is All In.